This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Advantages Digital Learning Solutions, where learning is reimagined.
Good afternoon and welcome to Learning Reimagined. I'm Allison Dampier, and with me as always is Sandy Gamba. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Allison. Oh my gosh, this fall is exciting. I love our lineup and our next speaker. I am just so excited to hear what he has to say and share.
Me too. We are very fortunate today to welcome Eduardo Trindade. I hope I said it correctly. To our podcast, Eduardo works for Advantages Digital Learning Solutions as the VP of Global Business, I believe is his title. And he lives in Brazil, but he travels quite a bit. He's very, very worldly, has a great voice. And so we just really wanted to introduce him to all of you so you guys can enjoy a little Eduardo as well. So Eduardo, welcome.
Thank you very much, Allison. Thank you, Sandy. It's a great pleasure for being here. I mean, as you said, I work as a VP of Global Sales for Advantages, and I love what I do. And one of the reasons why I love what I do is because I sell something that I truly believe in, which is education of high quality. So it's a pleasure being here today.
Love it. I love it. And so, Eduardo, we've been lucky to have Eduardo on our team for, gosh, I think we're at about 4 years now, Eduardo?
4 years. Yes.
Four years. And he came to us just with great experience that I find very fascinating. And Sandy and I thought our listeners would really appreciate learning a little bit about Eduardo because he has experience growing up in Brazil, but then he went to, was it high school, Eduardo?
Yeah, the last year of high school, the senior year
he
of
came,
high school.
Yeah, he came to the United States. So he's had experience going to school in Brazil, then coming to school in the United States. And now he sells American education all around the world. So he sees a lot of differences in education. And it's fascinating to me to learn about what other countries do for education and how they view American education. I find that also very fascinating. So Eduardo, why don't you give us a little background of you?
That's great. I love talking about it.
Talking about me.
Because I think it's a good example of how education can change lives.
Yes, the trajectory of your career.
Exactly. And the reason why, as a Brazilian, I'm the VP of Global Sales of an American company is not because of my beautiful voice, as you said, but it's because I've been able to experience a truly live experience of what a global citizen is. When I was a kid, my dad and mom had this insight. Well, not only with me, my oldest brother is now, as we speak, he's teaching in the U.S. He lives in the U.S. And we all started when we were young our careers because our dad and mom insisted in us. And when I say insisted, they truly did. I was a 17-year-old guy in Brazil, and I had my girlfriend, and then I didn't want to leave the country, but he said, "You must go. This will change your life."
Wow.
When I came back with a very good level of English, you know, distinguished from my peers. I started my career as a teacher of English, of course, while I was taking the university here in the country, then my master's and all that. But at the same time, I was always connected to language learning because of that. And then I also learned Spanish. So I'm fluent in English, Spanish, and Portuguese, of course, because that's my language. And I speak a little bit of French, a little bit of German. So the language stuff was always with me since I was a kid because I was exposed to different cultures from the outset. And I truly believe that that can change lives. That is the way, for example, I tell my parents still today, that it's for me. I mean, what they did to me was amazing because without this, I wouldn't be talking to you girls right now. It really helped me become what I am, helped me become not only professionally speaking, because as a person, you learn to respect different cultures, you learn to be more empathetic to different views of the world. And that is something we are in an urgent need in the world nowadays. I think if we had more of these, we would have fewer wars, for example.
I agree. And Eduardo is one of the leaders in our company in driving a new program that we have created called the Global Citizen. And he has worked diligently with our team to create this program that unites kids from all over. And Edward, do you want to talk a little bit about that guy?
Yeah, that is amazing. That
it is so amazing. So
in that, it's part of Pam's dream, and Marwa has done a great job building this up. But you know, the idea we had was we can connect. We are in over 40 countries now, and we can connect students from different cultures, from different countries, from different languages, all speaking in English towards one goal. And what is that goal? I mean, we're focusing on the 17 UN SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, which is also something that is worrisome because we only have one planet. We got to take care of it, not the way we've been dealing with it for the past centuries, let's say. Mm-hmm. So it's about time we changed it. And this series of webinars, which will become a credits-based course, is intended exactly to do that, to connect different cultures, to teach them to respect different points of view, different ideas, different cultures, and also to try and tackle the world's biggest issues nowadays so that we can get, maybe not we, but our kids, our grandkids can get, you know, a better place to live. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of it.
And I love
that we're doing it.
That's a fascinating concept.
It really is. And I think it's fascinating for these kids to meet other students, you know, other kids their age from different countries, because the perception of what is important is so different, you know, it's humbling. It's very humbling. And it's so good for our kids to just experience a little bit more of the world, even if they can't travel, which is what this program.
I love that it gives them a voice and a connection so that they can transcend distance and miles by unifying on a screen, just like we are right now, and be able to come up with those grander ideas than we can in a silo just by ourselves. So I love the concept.
And as you said, I mean, the internet allows us to do exactly that. I mean, kids from all over the world, even if they haven't left their own city, their own neighborhoods, they are able to connect with people that are four, five, six time zones apart from them. And this is amazing. This is one of the most beautiful things about the internet. So I'm glad we're doing that.
Yeah, me too. I think it's fascinating.
So Eduardo, I just need to go back just a little bit because I can't even imagine being a 16-year-old boy and being told by your parents that you need to pack up and explore this world on the other side. But your brother had done the same.
Yes, he did it before, so it was kind of easier for me. I actually been able to go to the same family he was.
So you stayed with the host family.
Yeah, host family.
What city?
Richmond, the state of Virginia.
Okay.
So it was really an inspiring moment, because when you travel, and I've been to the U.S. several times, I've been to more than 24 countries now currently. I have a plan of, before dying, 50 countries. That's my plan. So, but even going to 24 different countries, that experience was something I never matched, because having the opportunity of living a whole year in a different culture, and then you're living as a local, right? You're doing stuff that local people do. You're going to school. You're going to the same places that there's not the touristic stuff.
Right.
This was crazy, and it gave me, as an educator, I always loved the format of the American high school education, which I don't remember exactly the percentage, but it was a core percentage of a core materials that everybody, or core subjects that everybody got to study together. Mm-hmm. But then I could choose, you know, the others, the ones that were according to my career, according to my interests. And then, for example, that's something that Brazil is only doing right now. And I know some countries don't do that. I mean, you got the whole chunk of subjects, which are, you know, the same for everybody. Now, when we look at that, you know, years ago, I'm not going to say how many years ago, but years ago, it was like that in the U.S. And now we're reflecting that. For example, 2 or 3 years ago, there was this reform in Brazilian education in the high school. And they came with the Novo Ensino Medio, which is the new high school. And that's when they got 60% core and then 40% electives, where you choose according to your interests. And this is great because then kids who are from, human subjects languages, history, geography, they can choose subjects towards that. And they can forget a little bit about maths, science, and all that stuff that they don't like, and vice versa. So I've always loved it. And I think it was really inspiring for me. And now, interesting to see that some countries around the world are following that, because I think that this is the best way to teach kids, because we know that when we are 13, 14 years old, we already know where we're going to go. We may not know our profession or our career, but we know that we are more languages or more social studies or more science or more mathematics, so it's good to be able to choose. And I had this opportunity in my senior year of high school.
That's cool. That is just super neat. And now your brother, where is he living here in the U.S.?
He's living in, I should check, the island is an island near Canada on the East Coast, but I don't remember the name of the island. I got to check that, but it's a cool place.
Yeah.
It's an island. He's got to take the ferry to the island.
Wow.
It's nice. It's different. For example, I wouldn't adapt because I'm a very city guy. I'm a very big city guy. And when I look at the city he is, it's a very cozy city, but mm-hmm. it's got less movement than I'm used to.
Right.
Sure. But how wonderful that he was able to make those inroads and be able to make a new life out of that, just like you have.
Yeah, his kid. I mean, it's amazing because he's offering his kid, his youngest son, because he's got three children. Two of them are, one is 22, 23, lives in São Paulo. The other one is 19, lives in Rio. And Murilo, who's the youngest, is 8 and is living with him in the U.S.
Oh, he's not wow.
Less than a year after he's moved, the kid is just totally fluent in English. And so he's given this kid an amazing opportunity.
Just thriving. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat.
So when parents listen to this and they think of this international component, what is your suggestion? What do you recommend to them as they think outside of the traditional box? Just like your parents did. Mm-hmm. What are your recommendations for that?
Great question. And I always tell that in the parents' meetings with different schools all over the world. And I tell them it's much easier now with, for example, Advantage School International Programs. They don't have to send their kids to the U.S. to give them the culture embedded instruction that we offer them through a dual diploma program, for example. So we have a program called the Dual Diploma Program where kids can study all their local subjects in their local language, but they study 6 subjects with us through our platform, totally asynchronous, without leaving their parents or without leaving their homes. So it's nice and easy with a lot less investment than my parents had to do to take me to the U.S., for example. So nowadays, it's much easier, and I would recommend that 100 times, because that is how your kids will remember you. I tell my dad that. My dad is thankfully alive. He's 82. My mom is 73, if I'm not wrong. And I tell them every time I meet them, you guys changed my life. So imagine being able to do that and to be remembered by your children when they're, at my age, around 50s, and still being thankful for what you did to them when they were kids. And now they don't have to leave their homes with a program like ours, for example. So I would say just go for it. Just find the ways for it. It's not an expensive stuff. It's something that will change their lives forever. And it's the best investment one can do. I always said that it's in education. I mean, that is something nobody will ever take from you. So Just go ahead and do it.
Just go do it. I'm trying to convince my daughter. One daughter is like, she wants to go live in Ireland, and she's like signed, sealed, delivered. She's just waiting for the school to say, here's your program. But my older daughter, I'm trying to get her to go. I'm trying to encourage her. Like, this is your time to do it. It's life changing. So what should I tell her, Eduardo? How do I get her to do this?
Send her my WhatsApp and tell her to talk to me, and I'll let her know.
I will do that. So any listeners out there, if you need Eduardo, he'll connect with you on WhatsApp.
Because it's truly easy to convince once you show them what it can do to one's life. This is true. I mean, I truly consider myself a global citizen, not just now, but since I came back, because when I talked to my peers, the kids that were the same age as I was 100 miles ahead of them. Because I was exposed to a different culture, because I was exposed to a different way of learning things. And then, of course, everything changes. Your perspective changes. There's a saying that you only fight narrow-mindedness with exposing yourself to culture, to different cultures. Because then you learn that people think differently because they were raised and exposed to different cultures. So once you learn that, you learn to be more empathetic and to be accept more, the differences and all that. So
yeah, it makes the kids, I feel, more tolerant. Lets them, and empathetic, the both of those things, which I feel our kids, they live in, here in the US at least, I feel like the majority of kids live in like a bubble, and they aren't exposed to other. I mean, America is a bit of a melting pot. So they have some of that, but it's not the same as meeting somebody from another country and going and seeing what it's like to live in a different culture. We just live a little bit in a bubble. And I think getting out and exploring, it's so important.
And Mark Twain said once, I don't know, I cannot quote exactly his words, but it was something like that. Narrow-mindedness and bigotry and intolerance can be fought with traveling. I mean, that's how you fight those things. And then the next best thing compared to traveling is being able to study at an American school without leaving your country, because then you're exposed to culture without having to invest a lot of money or to leave your parents or whatever. So we offer them the best of both worlds.
I love it.
The other thing that I find really attractive too is when, for example, if I'm looking at a resume as an employer, I find that if I see a student that has gone outside of their neighborhood or, just traveled a little bit or has a global citizenship, that is attractive to me as an employer, because I feel like they bring more perspective to the workplace, to the team, and just being able to provide that insight. So I think that it really lends itself so much more than just a personal growth, but it also on a bigger scale, I think it helps in any format, at any team that they can join.
I always say that, for example, our dual diploma, because some parents or schools come to me and ask, okay, so the dual diploma is just for kids who want to study in a university in the US? And I say, no, not at all. Because if I am an employer, for example, and I'm looking for a young kid, 18 years old, living high school in my country here to work for me in a robotics startup or whatever. And then I look at the resumes and one has just won Ensino Medio diploma, which is our local high school. And the other one, besides having the Ensino Medio diploma, also has an American school high school diploma. I'm going to give him the job.
Right.
Because it's clear to me that that kid has more mileage, has more open-mindedness. And
drive. Yeah.
Exactly. And drive, because he's done something different. So he's ran the extra mile. So
anyway. Yeah. What is, so you went to school here and you've gone to school in Brazil, you've traveled quite a bit and you're involved in education. What would you say is the biggest difference in education throughout the countries that you visited? Primarily, well, Brazil and the US, but any other nuances that you've noticed that struck you?
Well, Very good question. And I think one of them, we're in Brazil, we're trying to match now with the new ensino médio, as I said, because they're looking into offering the electives and just a 60% core or something like that. So the students can elect what they're going to study according to their interests. I think one of the most interesting and important things in the U.S. Compared to other countries is not actually the high school itself, but the way the universities analyze your resume, let's say, or your
transcript.
Your transcripts, exactly. Because that is the biggest difference here. For example, when a student here in Brazil or in Latin America or in most other countries that I know are more towards the exact areas like mathematics, science, or whatever, they tend to do social studies or languages just to be able to pass for the minimum grades, because that won't change their chances in the university, because they will go through an entrance exam, and that is all that's going to be evaluated by the universities. For example, in Brazil, they call it either Enem or vestibular, right? Now, when you go to the US, if you are not worried about all the subjects you're learning, even if you're not an exact person, if you're just a social studies person, you got to do all of them at your best level, because otherwise you're not going to get the best universities. So I think that makes the whole change of the game. When we look at our students here, and I tell them when they're starting the dual diploma, I tell them, you got to change your focus now. You got to be an American in that sense. You got to work all the subjects towards the max. If not, you're not going to get Harvard, Yale, Stanford.
Interesting.
Because here they are used, whatever they do throughout ensino médio or high school, they can overcome that with the entrance examination test or whatever, because that's what the universities look at, nothing else. So if they have great grades, even we have also, it's crazy, because for those kids who haven't done well throughout high school, we have what we call the preparation courses for Enem or vestibular. So they can take a whole year after school just to prepare for the exam so that they can get the better grades and then go into medical school, law, whatever.
Wow.
Sure.
So they don't
worry. That is a different focus. I didn't
realize that. It is. So in the U.S., it's much more well-rounded. What I noted when we started this company, gosh, back in, I think we started in 2007, but I think we got one of our very first international students, the Pickerills, I can say their name. They were from Germany. And I remember talking to Sandy, they sent in their transcript. And what was so like, oh my gosh, looking at this transcript, the student lived in Germany, obviously had German, took English, took Latin, and I believe French, took two science courses and a math course. And that was it. Well, that sounds like an extensive schedule, but looking at it, I'm like, there was no, what I consider fluff. There was no home ec. There was no physical education. It was so academic and four languages. Like, it was insane. And part of me was like, why do they want to come get a U.S. education when this education looks so superior to me as an academic? So I just found it very fascinating how other countries approach it. They have a similar day-to-day schedule in terms of time at school, but their focus is so much more academic than we have here in the U.S. Yeah, I found fascinating. Well,
Now that you've mentioned, another comparison that I do is languages, as you mentioned, those kids. I mean, languages in most countries that I know, we tend to worry more about languages than the U.S., but I have an explanation, which I don't know if it's correct or not, but I think it's, well, which is the language that everybody speaks in the world? So why would you need to learn a different language? So it's kind of comfortable for an American person while in high school not to worry about a second language. Whereas if you're in Brazil, you just speak Portuguese, then you're not going to be able to move around the world. You can go to Portugal, to Mozambique, to Angola, but you cannot go to other places, right? And then if you speak English and Spanish, then you're multiplying your chances of being understood all over the world. So right. That's kind of a must if you want to travel, if you want to be a global citizen. Whereas the American people, I mean, you already have the world language with you. You're born right. with it. Like, so why right. on earth would you worry about it? So when you look at languages, you're right. And then there are other areas. And of course, when we look at that, there are two sides of the story always. When we look at that, mm-hmm. I say, okay, in countries like what I'm saying here, for example, that we focus more, if we're from exacts, we focus more on those subjects, then mm-hmm. yes, maybe there is more depth into those, but yours is more general. Like you have a little bit of everything and everybody mm-hmm. got to worry about everything, because if you don't, you're not going to get the best colleges, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here, people tend to focus since the beginning of high school to focus on their area, right? So they get more in-depth about their areas, as you
and
said.
And become experts in that discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It's different ways of learning. And again, mm-hmm. I think everything is valued. Everything is interesting. And it's for us educators, it's important to look at that and see, this is what teaching a global citizen is like, showing mm-hmm. that there's no right or wrong. I mean, there's only different views of the world. Mm-hmm. We got to understand.
It is so impressive when I look at, as Allison said, we see transcripts from all over the world and they're so comprehensive. And one thing when we did start our school is navigating those expectations and how do we encourage our youth to grasp for more, and what can we offer them? And going to the languages, we were established in the state of Nevada. And in our public schools, it's, I find, alarming, but we don't even require a foreign language for them to graduate from high school. And my son, he's definitely, I think he was born with a global citizenship spirit, because he loves to see the world. And when he was in eighth grade, he traveled a little bit and he was asked, well, how many languages do you know? Well, I taught him Spanish in the house, but it's not as fluent as he'd like it to be at the time. And he struggled with this expectation that, oh, you're American, you only know English. And that just bothered him. He wanted to learn more, because It just you're able to just meet and navigate your way through mm-hmm. the world a little bit more, the more you can relate on different languages. So it's mm-hmm. just been fascinating to see it from his perspective and then, of course, as educators.
And when I remember when Zach took that trip, and he was with other kids, and none of them were from the U.S. He was with kids from different countries, and they told him a joke that really, like, I think hurt his feelings deeply, but it really encouraged him and to help become who he is today. And the joke was, what do you call an American? And what was that? What it was? Is that how
something
it
like that? Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was like, what do you call an American? And the answer was monolingual. And because all of the kids that he was with, you know, they
spoke at least,
but they spoke several, and that tore him up from, I mean, that just, I think, ignited his mm-hmm. spirit of learning.
Motivation. Yeah.
He mm-hmm. came back and he petitioned at his school as a seventh grader or eighth grader. He wanted mm-hmm. to take French and Spanish, and they wouldn't let him. So he's like, why can't I? So he ended up switching schools. He was motivated that much. So wow. he was able to take his French, it's called zero period. So before school actually starts, there's a class that's offered. And then he took one during the school day. So, but that to him, it just rubbed him. Like Allison said, it just kind of ignited that sense of, mm-hmm. I don't want to be monolingual. Mm-hmm. I want more. So it's just fascinating how, really, you know, we all just interpret this desire and mm-hmm. what it can
do. Yeah, and at the same time, when I look at our catalogs, I've always loved when I looked at the CTE courses, for example, the Korean mm-hmm. Tech Education courses, because that's something very American. Mm-hmm. And we, as I said, I mean, we now in Brazil and in some countries in Latin America, we're going towards that. We're offering electives towards careers. Mm-hmm. But so you see, there's good and bad in every type of education. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, the thing of languages is something, as I said, I mean, the Americans usually don't have to worry about it, because
we don't focus on it at all.
Speak English and everybody will understand you somewhere, right? But it's interesting to see the motivation your kid had.
Yeah, it was neat.
Go further. And no, I don't want to be a monolingual.
Yeah. I do find it interesting how most countries do, they do like a general education up to a certain point. And then usually around 13 years old, kids pick a path. And then they focus more on, you know, math or science or, you know, or a trade. You know, they do some, that sort of thing. Here in the US, they don't do that at all. It's general education all throughout high school. And then you don't specialize until you get into the college level. And I have such mixed feelings about it. Part of me thinks it's kind of cool to be well-rounded by the time you get to be 18. But then part of me think I look at, you know, other kids who are, you know, they were 13 years old and then they had to pick a path. I think you're kind of young to pick a path at 13 years old. But at the same time, not everybody is destined for university. And you would know usually by, you know, age 14, 15, if you're not a university type person, and that's 100% okay. You know, we need all types and not everybody's academic. And I kind of like that about other school systems, how by the time they're 14 years old, they can say, I'm not a university kid. I want to go this path and learn a trade.
And this thing of not being a university kid, more and more, it's becoming more common because look at the professions that are trendy nowadays. They didn't exist 5 years ago.
Right.
And the ones that will be trendy in 5 years from now don't exist today. Mm-hmm. So, and if you look at, for example, Silicon Valley companies, they're not looking into your university degree. They want to know what you're able to do. Mm-hmm. What is your expertise? What can you actually do for them?
So right.
I tend to say, of course, traditional careers like medical school, law, whatever, those will always need a college or a university degree, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most of the trendy current modern professions will be on, ability, skills-based chosen path. You don't need a degree for that. You need to be expert. And then you're right. I mean, if you're becoming expert when you're younger, the better. But then my question is, to what extent a 13-year-old person, I changed careers a lot of in my whole university path. I started in computer science, then I moved to business administration, then I went to journalism. At the same time, I was doing languages, so it was like until I was 24, and then I said, "This is what I want to do." Right, so it's hard for me to be sure that. When I was 13, I knew that. No, I did.
Right.
You never know.
It's an interesting way to think about things. And you're right, the careers that are out there now didn't exist 5 years ago, nor will they exist in 5 years. And I have I'm going to keep it real here for everybody. One of my guilty pleasures lately has been a show on Bravo called Below Deck. Okay. Don't judge me. Please don't judge me. I've been watching currently when I'm on the treadmill, that's when I get to watch it when I'm exercising. I've been watching Below Deck, the yachting season or something like that. So these people come aboard the boat and they have chartered a yacht. So I can't even imagine how much something like that costs. At the end of their 3-day or 4-day excursion, they leave a tip for the staff that waited on them throughout. And the tip, just the tip, is at least, you know, $20,000. So you have to imagine that's, you know, at minimum 10%. So these trips, or you're talking, you know, $250,000 for these excursions and this, you know, 3-4 day thing. Last night I was watching the episode and the people, the charter guest who paid for the whole thing was a blogger. A blogger. She's nobody I'd ever heard of. She was a blogger and she makes enough money that she's able to charter a yacht for her boyfriend and her couple girlfriends. You're like, and that I'm like, wow, the world has changed so
influencers.
Much.
Influencers.
Yeah, exactly.
Are millionaires. Yeah.
So. Yeah. It was not, it was annoying because the whole entire yacht trip they had, they were taking pictures and making sure the background was great. And everything was about their outfits and their hair and their lipstick. And I got annoyed by them, but it didn't matter. They were on a yacht, you know, it's nuts to me how much money is out there for these influencers and people doing these such obscure careers that they didn't go to college. Absolutely. They didn't know to need a degree to do what they're doing. They somehow have some sort of business savvy that I clearly do not, because they're out on a yacht, and it's just interesting. And so, yeah, there is, I see with my own kids, like the lack of motivation to go to college, because, well, look at these millionaires and billionaires. They
were about there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting to talk to them about finding a niche that they are into, you know. Mm-hmm. It's curious. It's very curious. I'm curious also with your international experience, what are the students that you come across? What do they look forward to doing after high school? You know, what is their drive to do a dual diploma?
They're kind of lost. I mean, they usually do the dual diploma because they see the potential in becoming a global citizen, but they're kind of lost in what they're going to do exactly because mm-hmm. of what you just said. Mm-hmm. Because, well, of course, if you are from a family with doctors, you tend to try, I'm going to go to medical school. Mm-hmm. If you're from a family of lawyers, architect, you know, the traditional professions will always be there for sure. Mm-hmm. But more and more, those kids are willing to do different stuff, you know, going to audio and video production, going to robotics, going to, you know, programming and all that. And so they get kind of, honestly, you know, my opinion about those kids is that they are becoming overwhelmed with mm-hmm. options.
Yep.
And because of that, it's hard for them to decide what to do. So mm-hmm. the reason why they do the dual diploma is because it's clear to them and mostly their parents that it is important for their lives. And it is. But what they're going to do, what path they're going to follow, it's still very unclear. And it's becoming unclear until they are 18, 19, maybe 20. My son is 21, becoming 22 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And he he's a producer, he's a musical producer, he has his own studio, but he still struggles with that and says, am I going to make money with this? Shouldn't I be doing something else? And so he's 21. And I don't blame him. Until 24, I was like, you know, I was a musician and I was a teacher. And then
we're going to tag a clip of Eduardo singing to this podcast as well. So
yes!
Lovely to see.
You know what I think, Eduardo, is listening to that. There's a sense of normalcy. Like mm-hmm. we don't have it figured out, regardless of what zip code you may be born into. This is always a constant evolving piece to mm-hmm. all of us.
And that
so
is okay.
Our teenagers are teenagers. Okay. And that's okay. Yeah. So
it's okay. But I love the international aspect, doing the dual diploma or doing the travel abroad. It opens your opportunities up. And you learn because you're looking through the course catalog, trying to figure out, well, I have to pick a major. You don't even know what you don't know yet. And so traveling, I think, just opens your eyes and you learn so much more. And doing the global citizenship, learning about other cultures. And it just, mm-hmm. to me, that kind of education is just priceless.
Yeah,
exactly. And you might end up becoming a travel vlogger, for example.
And you can rent
and
a yacht.
Make a lot of money out of it.
There you go. That's my calling. Let's do it, Allison. That'll be the next chapter.
I do think about, even at my age, and even after I've started this company, and I've, you know, we've had a very successful company here and we're not going anywhere, but I do think about, what else do I want to do? You know, because it's kind of cool to think about that. And so, yeah, I do love our CTE program in that it does open, you know, gives a little sampling for kids out there, you know, trying out different, like audiovisual or agriculture. They can try different types of careers.
Lots of interesting stuff there.
It's very cool, very interesting. Well, I'm sure your son will figure it all out, and I hope he has a lot of fun doing it.
Yes.
So Eduardo, you are super busy. You are working in all kinds of different countries, trying to navigate different time zones. What do you do for you? Like, what do you do to fill your bucket and keep you energized and going?
That's a great question. Well, I've moved 2 years ago. I've moved to a coastal city in Brazil. Mm. Very beautiful one, by the way. So I like my walking on the beach, usually nice. Late afternoon, beginning of evening. Mm-hmm. And I'm still a singer and I still play the guitar and the drums. And I have my own corner studio in the living room where I get together with my stepdaughter and my friends sometimes. And I play the guitar. I sing to myself, to the family. And that, well, that actually re-energizes me. I mean, I love that. And it's
I want some recording.
I want to be a piece of that. That sounds amazing. You had me on Walking on the Coastal Day. I was like, all right. And then the singing and the music and that. That's, I'm sold.
That keeps my energy flowing. That's it.
Yes.
Then you keep singing, Eduardo, because we need you and we need your energy. You bring such a light to everything. And I appreciate you. I know Sandy appreciates you. And I'm now
everyone at the ASI family. I mean, for me, it's a family.
I agree.
And I love working for ASI. I love what I do. I believe what I do. I'm a model of an example of what I do because mm-hmm. I mean, I can prove by doing what I do that it's worth it investing in education and global citizens, whatever. So
that's
thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Any listeners out there, if you are interested in international education, if you want to have some insight into traveling abroad, we will tag Eduardo in this podcast. And so you can reach out to him or you can send any questions via our social media DM, Learning Reimagine the Pod on Instagram. Send us a DM and we will make sure we get it over to Eduardo. But Eduardo, thank you so much. You bring so much energy and I just love your experience. I love your passion and love you. So appreciative of you.
Thank you very much, my dears.
Thank you so much for listening to Learning Reimagined. If you are enjoying this podcast, please help us spread the word by clicking the subscribe button or share your favorite episodes with families and friends and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts.